Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
And welcome to the big show, everybody. Steph Kamen's MIA for right now. He'll be on in a couple of minutes. Sean Palmer here, and you there. And today is the big NBA draft preview. Yes, I was wrong. Shocking how that happened. I thought it was next week. And then I wondered last week why there was so much talk about a trade involving the first pick in the draft. Why? Why would there be such commotion, such conversation about the first pick being traded if we're 2 weeks out? So I did a little digging, which required typing in NBA draft on Google. And all of a sudden I find out that it's not next week, but it's this week. So it's this Thursday night. I believe it's on ESPN. And we have our first trade of the draft. And that involves the number one pick in the draft. And when Seth comes on, we'll talk a little bit more about that insofar as the NBA draft. And we have 30 picks. Seth and I do this every year. Every year, we screw it up. Every year, we screw it up. There's been 1 year that I have done very, very well in the draft. And I believe it was actually the NFL draft, and I picked better than Mel Kiper. But I'll tell you, that was a joke. So we have 30 picks. We know who the first pick is going to be. So chances are we at least get one right. One. Syracuse, my beloved Orange, will hopefully have a first rounder for, I believe, the fifth straight year. We've become the NBA draft factory, if you will. And that's Thursday night. So there we are. But before we talk about that, we have to talk a little bit about those Cleveland Cavaliers. And you would think that Dan Gilbert would have learned. You have an NBA team that is doing very well. You have a NBA team that has made the finals the last 3 years. All because of the work of two people. One, LeBron James, who is still the best player in basketball. I know you could talk about Kevin Durant, and we do. We talk about Kevin Durant a lot. But until LeBron has a bad season, even a bad series, LeBron James is still the best player in the NBA. I will not entertain a notion that Kevin Durant is at that level yet, even though he's won a title. And the other guy that deserves a whole lot of credit for the Cleveland Cavaliers' success is not Dan Gilbert, is not the owner. The owner pays money. The owner pays luxury tax. And look, without the luxury tax payments, the Cleveland Cavaliers are not an NBA championship team, and they're not in the NBA finals this year. So you give credit to Dan Gilbert for being able to go above and beyond. Looks like we may have a caller here, which is surprising. Hi, you're on with Seth and Sean. Well, really, Sean. Who is this?
How's it going? This is Tom. How you doing? From
Los Angeles. Hey, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm just tuning in, so I'm not entirely sure what you're talking about, but if you let me know, I could probably jump in.
Oh, great. So where are you calling from?
Los Angeles. I'm surprise, surprise, stuck in traffic. So I figured I'd call in.
Oh, that's awesome. So welcome. We're talking a little bit about Dan Gilbert and the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And we didn't get to the punchline, but the punchline is today that he fired David Griffin, the general manager that brought in all these wonderful players, that was able to make a championship team out of a Cleveland team that really had nothing going for it. And Dan Gilbert, the modern-day George Steinbrenner, really bit his nose to spite his face today.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting. I feel like the easy thing to do – see, like, I don't like Gilbert in general. I don't like him that much at all. I think the easy thing to do would be to criticize him on this. I think it's hard for me to call him cheap since he's paid so much for the luxury tax here. I think that I don't know. It's kind of the same thing as saying, like, Tyronn Lue is a good or a bad coach when you know LeBron James is basically in charge of the team. I think that while David Griffin has done a nice job, I think he's done some smart things in the sense that he, for example, when he traded for Korver or traded for some other people, I think that there were some things that he did that were smart in terms of trading first-round picks, yes, but also putting protections on them for the top 12 or top 15, which essentially means that if the Cavs ever lose LeBron and become bad again, that those picks aren't going to come back and bite them in the ass. But I also think that David Griffin, I mean, he was put between a rock and a hard place, but I mean, I don't want to laud the guy too much for LeBron deciding to come back, for flipping Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love, which was in reality actually a poor decision in terms of talent. For overpaying Amon Shumpert, getting forced into overpaying for Thompson by a LeBron James, overpaying for J.R. Smith when there really wasn't anyone else that was even bidding for him or that would have made sense. I think he's done a nice job of building a deep roster, but at the same time, their flexibility is almost zero. So I think you've got to give Griffin credit because he's definitely done a pretty good job, but I don't want to act like this guy's like Jerry West here.
No,
let's
understand. David Griffin was paid $2 million, where most general managers were paid far more than that, if not double that. Number two, David Griffin has to put up with Dan Gilbert. He's like the Brian Cashman of the NBA, and that has to count for something. Number three,
at least $2 million.
LeBron James does not stay without David Griffin. He said it. He would have been, he didn't want to come. He certainly didn't want to come because of Dan Gilbert. We know that. So when you make a decision for your general manager, and now he's looking at Chauncey Billups, who knows nothing about the NBA as far as front office personnel, you got to say you had your cake. You had it. You had the guy. You're paying Tristan Thompson $10 million a year. Now, granted, David Griffin's the one signed him. I get that. You're paying him like 16. You got J.R. Smith, who you're paying $14 million a year. You're paying each of these guys a ridiculous amount of money. Griffin wants $1 million. Come on. He's the architect here. You can't get rid of the architect just because you have a problem with notoriety. And I think that's really what happened.
I would.
Jeff, you got any ideas on this?
Got quite a few. I mean, the whole idea of like Gilbert. I missed the beginning of the conversation, but that Gilbert is has been unable to keep a GM. He doesn't seem to value the position a heck of a lot, having had four GMs in 12 years. The reality is, he blocked him from interviewing in Orlando. He blocked him from interviewing in Milwaukee. He blocked him from interviewing in Atlanta. And now, but, you know, with the contract expiring at the end of June, the guy brought in, look, the best out of not great situations. I mean, you know, who knows what Deron Williams had left, but you wanted to back a point guard. You wanted a three-point shooter to get you Carver. You know, it was a reasonable sacrifices to get things done. And you know, to be paying the bottom three or bottom four of GMs when, yeah, you have LeBron, which didn't take brain surgery to bring in, but he had done his job. He had done his job at a pretty good, at a solid level. So the idea of him making half of what other GMs made and being precluded from interviewing at other places, you know, I can't, you know, short of, again, yeah, maybe a Chauncey Billups will go there. But, Christ, can you imagine an experienced GM wanting to go anywhere near that situation at this point?
Here's the thing.
Billups
right?
is probably about the best he can get.
Gilbert's going to get what he deserves here because I think that these rumblings that James is gone after next year are not just rumblings. I think Gilbert's going to get what's actually coming to him, and the only reason his franchise is going to be saved is because Griffin, unlike a lot of GMs when a team is like this, was smart enough to trade first-round picks but not dangerously mortgage the future, right? If the Cavs become a lottery team again, they still have most of their picks. They're just not going to have their picks if they continue to pick in, you know, the 20s. So I think Gilbert's going to get what's actually coming to him, but what do you guys think about, I mean, all the other stuff going on in the NBA? A season's been done for 5 days. I feel like it's not even a break here.
It has been an interesting few days, to say the least. You know, going into the draft in 48 hours. You know, Paul, I'm kind of interested, you know, Sean, your view in regards to George announcing publicly that he, you know, that he won't be resigning with Indiana and most likely will end up in L.A. Because while you kind of had a feeling something along these lines was happening, it is pretty much precluded from Indiana from really, you know, I'm curious to see what kind of value Indiana can get for George at this point. Because, when even if we were pretty sure that this is how this was going to play out, it's 100% certainty he's lowered his trade value, but what, so what, like pennies or a dime or a quarter on the dollar? I mean, do you think they can even get Kevin Love off of this?
Yes.
I don't.
Yes, absolutely they can. Absolutely. I don't think this minimizes his trade value at all. Because to teams that believe that they could have re-signed him anyway are still going to believe that they can re-sign him. You got the Celtics, you got the Cavaliers, you got the Rockets, the Spurs. All these teams believe that if we can bring him to a winning environment, he'll sign. He'll re-sign. We'll take the risk. I think it's a good risk to take. Kevin Love, look, that team, the Cavaliers, we discussed this last week. That team is not going any further than they did this year. They just don't have the athletes. So is it worth it, if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, to take a trade of Kevin Love for Paul George? You win one more championship, if you can, and you suffer for 3 years. I'll take two chances. Look, I haven't had a championship in 30 years. I'll take it. I'll take it for 1 year. I'll take it in one sport. I don't care. I just want one. But the fans would be – look, I've always said fans are much more knowledgeable than anybody gives them credit for. We would take a championship for 4 years of mediocrity. Your Giants do it. Every 4 years, your Giants somehow win a championship and then are mediocre for 4 years. And then you take another championship, and then they're mediocre for 4 years. And you know what? As a Jets fan, I'm going to be at 1-15 and say, please, thank God we suck that much. But I really think that the Cavaliers and the Cavalier fans will be fine with that. I really do. And then if you have to sell off J.R. Smith for pennies on the dollar at $12 million, $12 million don't look so bad anymore in the NBA.
Sean, I have to get off for a little while. I will call back. I'll call back in shortly. My apologies.
All right. Sounds good.
The one thing that I would definitely say on that, though, is that if I'm the Cavs and I can get Paul George for the Love, even if it's a one-year rental, I do it every single time, right? Because I actually think a Love is pretty good. I think, unfortunately, we're in a situation here where a team needs to gear up for one specific team, Golden State Warriors.
Kevin Love can't really work against the Golden State Warriors. You need someone like George. My big question to that would be, Love is not going to be happy about going to the Indiana Pacers. I can't imagine he's going to take that well. I don't think Love is the kind of player that the Indiana Pacers necessarily need or want. I guess he has some value. You could trade him for other things. But if I'm the Pacers, I want small contracts and young guys. I'm not willing to just let Paul George go for Love. I don't think that's exactly what I would want to do. My big thing is if Paul George was the only person on the market, then okay. But in reality, there's not a lot. Like the San Antonio Spurs, that would be amazing. They don't have anything to give. You're going to have to throw together, unless the Larry Bird thinks DeJounte Murray is the second coming of Chris Paul. The San Antonio Spurs have no assets other than like a Danny Green type package, which I don't know why the Pacers would want that gives them anything. Additionally, you have Jimmy Butler out there who has a better contract and is on the books for 2 years, and I think is debatedly a better all around player. You have this thing leaking that apparently Porzingis at the very least is gettable, which is, you could talk about the Knicks all day if you really wanted to. It's a whole different situation.
Oh, that was my next case. And I'll ask you the question. I agree with you. Okay, Butler's got a better contract. Butler's not the same type of player. Butler's not a player that can guard Kevin Durant. He can't. He's 6'5". Durant's 6'10". It's not going to happen. You just can't do it. He can't do it for the entire game. He can't do it as a one-on-one defender.
Guard Curry.
What?
Guard Curry.
He could guard Curry. But the point is, Durant's the one that you need to guard. You could stick J.R. Smith. You could stick Iman Shumpert. Really, Iman Shumpert. You could stick him on Curry. They did it last year. It worked. The guy that they couldn't guard this year was Kevin Durant. And you need a 6'10 guy that could guard Kevin Durant. And Paul George is that Swiss Army knife. Not to say you can get him, just saying that's what it is. Let's talk about this. So I got you on for a couple more minutes. I'm going to ask you a very simple question. All right. This is the proposed trade on the floor. You tell me who says no, if anybody says no. The Knicks call up Danny Ainge and say, we will give you Porzingis. You must take Carmelo Anthony as part of the deal. Now, what we will give you back is we will give you Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, Jaylen Brown, and the number 3 pick in the draft. Who says no?
So, because the Knicks are you a Knicks fan? Because I want to know how mean I should be to the Knicks.
Oh no, you could be as mean as you want.
Okay.
By the way, sources are saying, I just saw this. Sources are saying that the Lakers are trading Mozgov and D'Angelo Russell for Brooke Lopez and the 27th pick in the draft.
That can't be true.
I think that's a steal for the Nets.
I will kill myself if that's true. How is that possible? All right, if that's actually the truth, I will never forgive the Lakers, ever in the history of time. But I hope that's not true.
I am a Knicks fan, but I have been killing the Knicks since they let go of Donnie Walsh. So if you wanna rip them, go for it.
Oh my God, I was just about to insult the Knicks, but now I have to insult my own team. Oh, my God.
Are you seeing this?
The 27th pick? So they got nothing?
No, they got Brooke Lopez. They got Brooke Lopez and the 27th pick. Now, Brooke Lopez is a free agent after. Brooke Lopez is a free agent after next year, so they dropped the salary. So they don't have to pay Mozgov $16 million until the next decade.
Yeah, but they signed a free agent contract last year that made them have to give up D'Angelo Russell for nothing. Oh, my God. This is life. Okay. So I was about to go in on the Knicks and have to go in on my own team after this. So you're saying, first off, you trade Porzingis and Melo for Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, Jaylen Brown, and the number three pick?
If I'm the Knicks, I would – I'm asking you – by the way, that trade that I just said, the Mozgov trade, is all over the internet.
I know. God, I just read this. I'm so upset. Anyway, but on a side note, I think the biggest problem with what's happening is that the Knicks have been so inept in their front office and so horrible PR-wise that Carmelo is now thought of as this, like, negative asset that people have to take. Like, no. Carmelo is still the second best. Is still the second best player in that trade that you just threw out, and Porzingis is the first. So you're trading the two best players in the trade for what I apparently would probably be like Josh Jackson or Jason Tatum, and Porzingis is. I honestly don't even know if I would trade Porzingis for all that stuff. I honestly wouldn't trade Porzingis for all that. I think Porzingis
Here it comes from a Knicks fan, okay? And this is why Knicks fans would be okay with this trade, okay? And I grant you that Carmelo is probably the second best player in that trade. Okay. It allows the Knicks to start over. They are under the cap. They are not paying Carmelo 2 years at $25 million. They start with Jaylen Brown, the number three pick last year. They start with the number three pick this year. They start with Avery Bradley, who, granted, is a 27-year-old player, but certainly could be flipped for something else. And they start with Jay Crowder, who has the best contract in the NBA by far, not even close. Now, let me ask you this. If the Knicks subbed out, if they didn't take the number three pick this year and were able to take the Nets pick next year, would that make this better for you?
If they subbed out the number three pick this year and took the Nets pick next year, I still just – why are you trading Porter Porzingis? He's the best thing that's happened to the New York Knicks in – 20 years. Like, he's the first time they've ever, like, it's not his fault that Phil Jackson is trying to run the triangle offense to get mid-range jumpers. Like, it's not his fault that they're not running pick-and-roll offense. And, like, he is a 7-foot, 20-year-old center who can defend the rim, rebound, and shoot threes. That's what he can do.
Agreed.
There's
Anthony I don't want to give him up.
So then,
I don't
want to fire. They need to just, like, honestly, like, what the Knicks need to do is, instead of focusing on trades for Porzingis, they need to fire Jackson and figure out a way to, like, cryogenically freeze James Dolan. Like, because Porzingis should not be traded. Like, okay, if the Celtics literally are like, take if they still had the first pick, if they said take Fultz and our Nets pick next year, and the Knicks are so determined they have to trade Porzingis, you at least say, okay, I guess maybe we'll do that. If, like, Porzingis is the worst person. But, like, even then, it's like, what are you telling your fans? Like, the Knicks fans need – granted, I'm going to need some moral support after this trade that just went through. But, like, the Knicks fans – God, it's been a bad few years for the Knicks and the Lakers. Oh, my God.
Look, I am a Knicks fan. You just heard me. I haven't had a championship in 30 years. 30.
And
the last championship my team's won was in 1986.
Here's what's most upsetting about the Knicks, is that we're sitting here talking about how do you trade Porzingis, when in reality, the Knicks have a 33-year-old guy who's, yes, he's past his prime, but let's not bury Melo yet. In the right situation, Melo can still be very good. You have Zingas, who's a 20-year-old guy on the verge of superstardom, who's on a contract that pays him $6 million a year. They've decided, for some reason, to sign Joakim Noah, even though God knows why.
Because they're the Knicks.
They should be in a situation where they're talking about, oh, maybe we should add Chris Paul, or maybe we should. But instead, they're talking about, how do we get rid of everyone so we can restart the same exact cycle that's going to happen again, except this time they're not going to luck into Porzingis. Like, if I am the Knicks, I don't trust myself to draft anymore. If I'm a Knicks fan, I don't trust them to draft anyone or sign anyone. So you have Porzingis, hold on to him for dear life, and just hope that you get like that brief oasis in the desert, like a Donnie Walsh for 2 years, who comes in and actually builds like a somewhat respectable team before Dolan forces him out. fire Phil Jackson and hire Griffin. I mean, he'll only last for 2 years, but maybe he can do some smart things in 2 years that gets you a little closer to where you need to be. But no, I mean, there's so few things I'd accept for Porzingis. I mean, the funny thing
okay.
is, I was going to talk.
Let me run another trade by you. You being a Lakers fan, okay? The Lakers give up Timothy Mozgov and D'Angelo Russell for the 27th pick in Brook Lopez. Do you do it? Sorry.
Can you imagine if you said that out loud to me like 20 minutes ago? I'd have been like,
You were doing that 5 minutes ago.
Because I was like, come on. The second that they signed the Mozgov and Dane contracts, I have this friend who's like the optimistic sports fan that always wants to like give people the benefit of the doubt. And I was like, you just signed two contracts by your own choice at like 12:01, the second free agency started, that we will have to attach very serious assets to get rid of. The only reason that we attach Russell instead of another serious asset is that the Lakers are so terrified over what trading these draft picks have done to them over the last 4 years of us sweating it down to the wire every time that they decided they had to get rid of a player. And I mean, now I will say this. Clearly they're getting rid of Mozgov because they think they're about to unload on free agency next year. And if this is true,
yes.
Okay, because you had to get rid of that Mozgov contract. The rest of the contract, Dang is infinitely more tradable than a Mozgov contract, especially if there's only two years left on it. But I'll say this. I would have made the Brooklyn Nets. I would have rather taken out the 27th pick, and I would have forced them to take Dang too. Because if you're giving up Russell, I mean, he was a number two pick 3 years ago. And it's not like he's been bad. He's not good on defense, but like the guy has decent potential. I haven't loved him though, to be dead honest with you. I'm not distraught by
The 27th pick is coming back to you guys.
Well, I'll tell you what's very interesting now is we now have the 27th
pick. No, you know that, right? Pick. You guys are getting that pick. You guys are getting 27. You have 28.
I would have loved to take the 27th pick off the table and said take Dang too. Not that they do that, but like
there's no chance. No chance. You can't trade 50 million in a cap.
Well, the Nets 50 have
million
like
in a cap.
The Nets have like $5 on the books, but I mean, man, that's a big. I'm a big D'Angelo Russell fan, but I'm also seeing him through like beer goggles. So it's like, it's hard. You're trading someone.
D'Angelo Russell become the player that you believe he would be with Lonzo Ball there?
My worry is that it is. The answer is yes, but the problem with it is that watching the Golden State Warriors play defense in the finals just made you realize like you're not going to win with. I mean, D'Angelo Russell can shoot threes. He can handle the ball. He's a good player, but his athleticism is not necessarily there. His effort is not necessarily there. His defensive upside is almost non-existent, and he doesn't really finish at the rim. So you're looking at a guy who could be a 23 to 24 point per game scorer, but to get there, he's going to have to hit 40% of his threes, maybe even more, maybe even 40, 43, 44. So you're basically saying, I don't know. When I settle down on
what you're basically saying is he needs to be Stephen Curry from three.
Yeah. Which is not going to happen. So I'm not upset about Russell.
Right.
It's just that's very low value, right? Like, I don't love Russell, but Russell does make sense on other people's teams, and to get no usable assets back for him, because we're not re-signing Lopez, is – I mean, I was upset that we were going to get the 10th pick or something like that. But, like, at this point, it's like you take the 10th pick. But what I mean, Mozgov's gone. But the fact of the matter is that they signed a contract that forced them to get rid of D'Angelo Russell for nothing. And, like,
yep.
I guess that is what it is.
Well,
by
the way, you may still re-sign Lopez. And there is a way to do that, which is Lopez will retain Larry Bird rights after this year, even with the Lakers, because he's being traded more than a year before free agency. So,
yeah, but do you want to re-sign Lopez?
If you sign enough people under the cap space, which the Lakers will have an abundance of cap space because the only player that they have on a major contract would be Luol Deng, then you would be able – I'm sorry, Clarkson's also under a contract. You would be able to then hold off and sign Lopez over the cap at that point. It is possible. I'm not saying it's likely.
So I guess here's the way that this makes sense. And this is the only way I think this makes sense. With Mozgov gone, so they were going to have $30 million in cap space before the year started. Mozgov's now gone. And now it's up to $46 million. D'Angelo Russell's gone. Lopez, I don't think they're going to re-sign next year. So I'm just going to assume he's not there and Russell's gone. That's an $8 million cap hold. So now you're up to $54 million. Then all of a sudden, you know, Clarkson's not Mozgov. You can just give Clarkson away. Someone will take him into cap space. He's fine. So worst case scenario, you give him away. Now there's $12 million. Now you're up to 66. And then Nick Young expires and you're up to 71. So all of a sudden, now you're looking at Russell Westbrook and Paul George, and okay, sure, but you got to sign Russell Westbrook and Paul George. So yeah, if we look back on
no, you're not signing Russell Westbrook. I think you're looking at LeBron James.
You really think that's? I mean, that's the one I'm not going to put any money in the piggy bank on. You really think
well,
LeBron
you
James
just,
coming?
Let's put it this way. You just put out there that you believe Dan Gilbert's going to get his due.
Yeah.
Well, if he's going to get his due, LeBron's only going to one place.
Then the real thing becomes is then you have to trade for Paul George now, and you don't sign him to the extension. Because if you get him now and don't have to take him into cap space, then he doesn't necessarily count against the cap. Or he has a smaller cap hold. He has like a $20 million cap hold. And then if you can maneuver some things. See, this is ridiculous, though. Like, I'm about to give you a scenario in which Lakers get Paul George, Russell Westbrook, and a LeBron James, and someone should just punch me in the face right now. So, like, the problem with trades like this is that it gets your head spinning that the team is playing chess and thinking so many moves ahead. And I never think that's the case. I don't think the Lakers are playing chess right now while other people are playing checkers. I think Mozgov's contract sucked, and they clearly know something. There's no reason to do this now because there's no reason – this would always been out there. You can always attach D'Angelo Russell to Mozgov, and someone will take him for nothing. Whether Russell has the same season he had last year, you can always do that because that's always there. So what this makes me wonder is why do this right now? Because, you don't just get rid of salary for no reason.
There is one thing that you have to look at here. And I know you're going to hear about it, and you're going to say, well, that's the garbage part of the deal. When you have that many top salaries, which is what Golden State is going to feel in 2 years, the only way that you can fill in those missing pieces, draft choices, is picks. And with the Lakers not having their pick next year, they need to have minimum-type players that are good players, or at least decent fillers. And getting that first-round pick this year allows for that to happen. So, yes, you can always dump Mozgov with D'Angelo Russell. I agree. But can you – the Nets had two first-round picks, right? So you need to find another team that has a first-round pick that would trade for it. And D'Angelo Russell is about to get pretty expensive. he's not expensive today, but starting next year when he can get an extension, he is becoming expensive. So I really do thank you for calling in. We have to get to our NBA draft preview. Seth just dialed back in, so I really appreciate it.
At least what were the odds that you were going to break that trade to a Lakers fan? So I can get the live reaction.
There you go. Oh, thanks again. Have a great day. Seth, you on?
I am back. And somewhat better
okay.
than ever.
Well, we have 55 minutes. So we got to jump right into the NBA draft. 30 picks, 55 minutes. I assume you heard about that trade that just went down.
Lopez in 27 for D'Angelo in Moscow.
Yeah. And the guy that we were just talking to, who we really do thank for coming on, was a Laker fan. He cannot believe that trade went down.
I don't even know what to make out of that trade.
We can talk about that more next week when the free agency comes on, because I think a lot will be said based on that. But we really do have to get to our draft. So I'm plugging in Seth and Sean. And, okay, Seth, can we both agree on Markelle Fultz with the first pick in the draft?
Agreed.
Okay. Second pick in the draft. Who do you have, my friend?
Well, as much as I'd kind of like to not see this happen, obviously with D'Angelo Russell being traded, it does open up a point guard situation that was kind of nebulous anyway. LaVar is getting his wish. They're going Lonzo.
I agree. And I'm not going to discuss it any more than I believe that D'Angelo would not have achieved any potential with Lonzo Ball there. So I think that's why they're trading him anyway. Okay, Boston is the linchpin of this draft. I think that there are two spots which are linchpins, number 3 and number 6. So with the Boston pick, I think they're taking the guy that they wanted all along in Josh Jackson.
I go back and forth between Jackson and Tatum. They need a scorer. I mean, which would be Tatum. But I agree. I think at the end of the day, the issue is also Josh Jackson decided not to work out for the Celtics, which I kind of find a bit confusing. I'm going to go with Jackson, but very hesitantly.
Okay, so I have either Josh Jackson or Jonathan Isaac, to be fair, in the from Florida State. I don't think – remember, he didn't work out for them not after the trade. He didn't work out with them before
right.
the trade.
For the number one pick. Right, understood.
Right. And if you're Josh Jackson, why are you putting on – a show where you conceivably could be bad and ruin and lose some stock if there's no chance of that team taking you to begin with. And if you recall, there are teams such as the Golden State Warriors that have picked people that they did not work out, and they never worked out Stephen Curry. So
no, understood. This happens all the time.
Yep, number 4 to Phoenix, and this is where Tatum goes to me.
Yeah, this is where I have him as well. The only two real possibilities are him or D'Angelo or De'Aaron Fox, but they have a glutted point guard at this point anyway, so they could use a nice secondary score to Devin Booker, and Tatum makes all the sense in the world.
I was about to say, how many point guards can Sacramento have? They just traded like 6 of them to get out of this hole, and now they have 2 finally, and maybe they'll go back into it. Okay, Sacramento gets their wish. They get De'Aaron Fox, the point guard, and they need a point guard so badly in Sacramento.
Yeah, there's no real question about that. He makes the most sense. He's a leader type. He's a good defensive player, which they haven't had. He's quick. You know, if he could, him and Buddy Hield, you know, Buddy has played pretty well actually since the Boogie trade. And it gives you a backcourt for the next few years. And then at number 10, you can kind of go in a significantly other direction.
And we're going to get to that in a second. Number 6, I have the second linchpin of the draft to me, the Orlando Magic take Jonathan Isaac. I think this is the group from Milwaukee. They came as a pair, Jonathan Hammond, and I can't remember the president's name, but the last guy that they picked that was long, lanky, and could do everything made the All-NBA team this year in Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think Jonathan Isaac's their guy.
You're pretty close on that, on the pronunciation.
Darn it.
I go back and forth on Isaac, and because Elfrid Payton hasn't really developed into the point guard that was anticipated, I'm not really enjoying sharing all these picks with being pretty much on the same wavelength with you on these picks. So it's
it'll
Tim
change soon enough.
I'm sure.
It'll change.
So I guess I'm going to go with Isaac at 6 as well. His upside is just too good.
Okay, Minnesota, where are you?
Minnesota, you look around Minnesota, they have a 3, they have a 4, they have a couple of 1s, so you're looking 2 or 4. And I think you're looking at a 4 who can shoot and who can kind of the stretch 4 who can open up the lane for Towns. So I think you're going marketing in the power forward from Arizona.
Wow. Well, that is where we will stop. Okay. I have Minnesota going with a 2, and I have them taking Malik Monk, who is probably the best shooter in the draft. And here we are with the Knicks pick. And I will take the Knicks pick first. Given that they are my team. And look, the Knicks are going to do everything I don't want them to do. They have the point guards here. They have, unfortunately, they have 2 of them. They have the guy out of France, Nicolatina. And they have the guy that I want in Dennis Smith, who, when I saw Dennis Smith play against Syracuse, I was like, this is the guy I want. And Dennis Smith has probably, outside of Fultz, in my opinion, the most talent in this draft. And knowing the Knicks, and because I'm predicting what the Knicks will do, not what I hope they will do, I'm going with the guy from France. And I'm hoping I am dead wrong. Dead wrong here. I just don't think I'm going to be.
Yeah, I don't like either point guard for the Knicks because, to be honest, I think it's very difficult. Remember, you know, Phil Jackson still has as hard as it is to leave 2 more years of running this team, and Hornacek being forced to kind of run the pseudo triangle offense. Neither him nor Dennis Smith is the right point guard to run this to be part of this. You need a shooter, and I think the Knicks go for Malik Monk.
See, I wouldn't be upset about that at all.
I don't think you should be.
Score in New York would not be upset about that. I just don't have him on the board. Okay, Dallas. Where do you have Dallas going?
Dallas goes for a point guard. Yogi Ferrell's not the answer, and Deron Williams obviously left and went to go to Cleveland to chase a ring. So you're looking either Smith or Nikolina. And I think and the way Dallas picks and the way Dallas' organization is built, I think they go for Nitakina. They're a team that's a couple years away from being relevant again as Nowitzki's prime kind of dies down. An 18-year-old point guard, he has plenty of time to develop. So that's where I think they go.
Well, I completely agree with you that they need a point guard, and the last of the point guards is here, and that is Dennis Smith to me. Like I said, I hope the Knicks get him a pick before, because I believe that he is the key. He would do very well in a Knick uniform. Unfortunately, you're right. None of these point guards can play the triangle, in my opinion. Okay. Number 11, Charlotte.
Number 10.
Oh, sorry, number 10.
Number 10, dude.
Charlotte. Yeah, I said.
No.
I'm sorry. I said.
Number 10
I'm
is Sacramento.
Sorry, number 10. Oh. Oh, I skipped them. Okay, Sacramento.
There you go. So we're looking at Sacramento. We got you picked your point guard. You have your two guard. You have Cauley Stein as your center. You need a forward. So there's a couple names out there that make sense to me. You can look at Harry Giles, which is high risk, high reward, where I'm debating. But I think at the end of the day, I think they go a little bit safer. They go from the power forward from Gonzaga, who is so good in the tournament. I think they go for Zach Collins.
Well, I would agree, but Zach Collins isn't a power forward; he's a center.
And he's a both.
I think part of the reason is that there isn't a power forward here. They would love to have Jonathan Isaac fall. That would be perfect for them. Or they may take Markkanen here. But Markkanen's more of a outside shooter type deal. So I have Collins going here as well because I think he's just the best available. Okay, 11 to Charlotte. Charlotte needs some outside shooting. I think this is where the floor with Markkanen goes. Sorry, Markkanen goes.
And this is where they need a bunch. They need offense. So the problem is their best player is Kemba Walker. So I'm not sure if Dennis Smith, although he's played at NC State, is the best pick here. So I have him falling a little bit further. I'm going to go Donovan Mitchell, the guard from Louisville. A little bit bigger, stronger, extremely athletic. That to me makes sense.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Donovan Mitchell. Just athletic. He may be the outside of Isaac, he may have the best upside in the draft. Like what, from where he is today to where he will be tomorrow, I think the delta is bigger on Mitchell than probably anybody outside of Isaac. Okay, Detroit. Detroit needs shooting to me. They have Kentarius Pope. They could use a little bit more shooting. They could go a Luke Kennard here. Or they could look for somebody that kind of meshes with Andre Drummond, that plays more of a power forward type deal. And I'm going to take the sophomore out of Wake Forest and John Collins.
Okay. Detroit needs a point guard. Reggie Jackson has not been the answer, despite his huge contract. We don't know what KCP, I mean, even though he's a shooting guard, you know, I believe he's a restricted free agent. You need some athleticism. This is where I got, this is the four for Dennis Smith in my mind.
I agree. If he's falling beyond Dallas, I believe Sacramento doesn't take him. Charlotte doesn't take him. I think Detroit, you're absolutely right. Okay, where do you have going for Denver? And we're moving along. I'm loving this. 20 minutes and we're down 13 picks. I'm loving this.
There you go. All right, so Denver is a best player available kind of guy team. There's no super need, but there's no superstar in any direction. They could lose Gallinari, so they may need a 3-and-D guy. And they're not winning a championship this year, so you can take a risk on a guy like a Giles. But I think they take a risk, actually, on the forward from Indiana, on Anunoby. Good defensive player, and good upside guy. And he's got – with that team, they can take their time and build him as when he recovers from a torn ACL.
Yeah, he's definitely not he's unlikely to play next year. I think Denver, you're right. I think Gallinari's a free agent, and they need some shooting. They do have a point guard. What the heck is his name? Not Munde. Who's the guy that they – Jamal Murray, the shooting guard?
Yeah, he's a shooting. Him and Gary Harris
bit,
are the two – are kind of the 2-3 combo.
Yeah, so does Luke Kennard really make sense here? Probably not, given he's a 6-6 shooting guard. But you're right. It's best player available. And where is the best player? I'm struggling here. because I'm looking at this list, and I like your pick for the reasoning that he can't, they can't sit him for an entire year. And I'm going to stick with you. I think you're right. And a newbie. There you go.
Thank you.
Okay, Miami to me is Luke Kennard or Donovan Mitchell. Very different players. Donovan Mitchell is much more athletic. Luke Kennard is a shooter. I think they need a two. I'm gonna stick with Donovan Mitchell here, which is surprising because I did have Kennard shooting up my draft, and it seems like he's just coming right back to where I started.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, Miami, you know, they're a team built right now on Dragic and Whiteside. So you could go power forward. You could go TJ Leaf or, in my mind, Collins. But I think you go for the best shooter in the draft in Kennard, because Tyler Johnson didn't particularly develop. They need shooting, and especially with Waiters, you know, as your two guard. But he's a, you know, he's not really a shooter per se, as you know, as a Cuse guy, more of a scorer than anything else. So I think the shooting, I think Kennard makes the most sense to me.
Okay. Portland with their first of three first-round picks. Before we go there, do you think that they keep all three?
Yeah, I just think the problem is I don't know what they're do you trade? You're not going to trade. You're going to trade McCollum in the first round for what? It seems like Portland has three parts of the puzzle right now. They got the center they got from Denver, Nurkic, who got hurt. You know, they have the backcourt, although they have no defense. There's not much of a defense there. So, you know, in my mind, you take a couple forwards if possible, and then you take a flyer on one of the guys, and you take another guy to go overseas.
Okay. So
unless
who's your guy?
Yeah. So I have – they have 15, 8, was it 15, 20, and 25, something like that. So
15, 20, and 26.
So to me, they go for the highest upside left. The highest upside left is Harry Giles. If he's healthy, which is a big if, and again, they can probably wait a year on it while he recovers more and more. It's a risky pick, but I think you can take it with three of these guys. Because he was the number one recruit in the country coming out. And then just has dealt with knee issues. So if they've cleared him, I think at 15, I think it's a worthy risk.
See, and okay, so I have Giles. I have him going at 20 for the same reason. I don't think he gets cleared this early, and I think that they will go a different direction. Sort of the same in that they want some upside, but I think they go for Justin Patton out of Creighton, the center. / power forward. Okay. Chicago, who can use a little bit of everything. Taj Gibson, went to Oklahoma City. They are now, rumors are that Dwayne Wade is opting into the contract. They still have Rajon Rondo. They still have Jimmy Butler. Where is Chicago going?
Chicago goes best talent available because there's nothing on Chicago other than Butler, who is in the midst of a zillion different trades. That would be untouchable. I mean, Wade, they can't trade, but this team is going nowhere. So if I'm Chicago, I probably go bigger prospect than anything else. I think they go the center from UCLA, Anigbagu. They really have no center. And again, this team is not going anywhere in the next, even though they gave Boston a scare in the playoffs, they're not going anywhere in the next year or two. So this is a guy who can develop over time.
Completely agree with the rationale. Different player, but completely agree with the rationale. And I have them going with Jared Allen out of Texas, who I think has great skills, just hasn't had enough time. And look, this is going to be something that we say throughout the second half of the draft is upside. Because the majority of these players are going to be freshmen and sophomores. It's all about upside here. I don't believe I have one senior going the rest of the draft, which would mean I do not have one senior in the whole first round. Do you have a senior in the first round?
I believe I have one, but I'm actually confirming that he's a senior.
Is it Frank?
No, he's not a senior. He's not a senior. I don't have a senior. I do not have a senior going in the first round.
Yeah. I mean, Frank Jackson is not – is he a – no, he's
no,
a freshman.
He's a freshman.
Yeah. No, sorry. I was confusing him with Justice Jackson. Either way, Justin Jackson's a junior. I do not have one senior in the entire first round of the draft. Yeah. Quite a change. Okay. 17 is the Milwaukee Bucks under new management. And could use a big guy. They could definitely use a big guy. Greg Monroe really not doing what he needs to be doing. And I'm taking your guy out of Bayou here for the same reason.
You know, Henson seems to have kind of faded out a little bit. Monroe is not much of a, you know, when I look at this team, you know, you have the Greek Freak. You have, if he can stay healthy, Parker and Middleton, which kind of gives you your solid three. I think you need a big board guy. So, you know, kind of take one of the names that you threw out a little bit earlier. I'm going to go with John Collins, the power forward from Wake Forest.
Okay. And now we are on to the Indiana Pacers.
Yeesh.
Who, after the news of Paul George, and we could take a minute and talk about Paul George, because you had said to me, does his trade value go down to zero? And I had told you, I don't think his trade value changes at all. I think Paul George did the Pacers a favor here.
That's the other way. If I could have stayed on the call a little bit longer, and I apologize for those listening that I couldn't. Sometimes these things happen. The question wasn't, you know, was what he did wrong. The question was, I mean, definitively that he did it wrong. It was more of a, was this the right way to handle it? So this way, A, it does give Indiana time to make a trade, or B, on the other, on 180-degree other side, this, you know, precludes them from getting any additional value on the trade. Now, if they can get Kevin Love, you know, that's a different – that's as good as you're going to get. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out.
Well, what do you think his value is?
The problem – if I'm them, I push for Kevin Love, because Kevin Love is not going to help Cleveland beat Golden State. And that's all Cleveland is based upon at this point. There's no reason to think, short of an injury to LeBron, that they're not going to run through the East, probably not run through the East yet again next year. So, in my mind, if this is what you need to do, the one-year rental potentially to make a serious run at Golden State and make one, you got to do it. Would I rather have 3 or 4 years of Kevin Love?
Right. Let's look at it from Indiana's point of view. So you're acquiring Kevin Love for $23 million, if not more, for 4 years. We saw what Kevin Love was in Minnesota as a number one, right? He's not a championship player as a number one. Do you believe you could build a championship around Kevin Love?
Probably not. But again, I also think this was not the right happenstance for him to be able to develop into that. You know, it's one thing going from number one to a number two. It's another going from number one to number three. And for an offense that probably didn't suit him particularly, doesn't suit him particularly well. So, wherever he goes, most likely he's not going to. And again, I think he's out. And for Cleveland, with their glut of power forwards, you know, as he said, you know, $80 million to Tristan Thompson, and you know, someone's got to get they need the swing. You know, Shumpert just is not the player to do it. J.R. Smith's not the player to do it. So they need that ultra athletic guy who can be a high level third option both on the offense and be a number one option on the defense, which George gives you as with Butler, but just in but they're not trading for Butler, but just in a different way. So if I'm Indiana, I do it. If I'm Cleveland, I would probably do it on either side.
Well, I think Cleveland has to do it. I don't think Indiana does.
You think Indiana?
I think
can
that's
get more?
The difference.
Well, what do you think is the ceiling for George?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if getting a Kevin Love at 4 years and that amount of money is worth getting Kevin Love. If you don't believe that Kevin Love is A, going to be happy, B, going to be a number one option, or C, if you can't flip him therein, is it worth having mediocrity? Mediocrity in the NBA is horrendous, right? You don't want to be that mediocre team. It's as we have said many times before, if you're a Knicks fan, are you happy with a – you said this last year, Knicks fans, are you happy just getting to the playoffs? Because if you are, then great. But that's where Indiana's ceiling would be, just getting to the playoffs. So, I don't know. I mean, if you're – right now the Lakers have acquired another first-round pick. If they called Indiana and said, we will give you – we have now the 28th and 27th pick in the draft. We will give you both of those picks – and Jordan Clarkson for Paul George. I think Indiana says yes in a heartbeat. Do you?
The problem with Clarkson is, and I realize he's not the linchpin of the deal, is he's going to be your backup point guard at Teague for the next couple of years.
Yep.
So you're trading a superstar, again, albeit one who's not going to stay with you, for two relatively mediocre picks and a guy who's not going to start.
Yep.
I'm not sure how excited I am by that trade.
Is it excited? I guess that's my point. You have to be excited. If you're Indiana, if you're the Indiana front office, is excitement what you're looking for, or are you looking to build another team? Like you said to me, what is the floor, right? What is the floor?
Well, this may be your floor, because to me, this is to take the 27th and 28th picks don't do much for me.
Okay.
And I realize Indiana needs to rebuild again, because Monty Ellis is 97 years old. Jeff Teague was disappointing. Really, you're building around Miles Turner, which was a nice piece, but you need a bit more. The problem is, A, people are not going to really want to go to Indiana. It's not a place people aspire to as a free agent. And number two, you're stuck in that mediocre, what I call the Atlanta Hawksville, of like 15 to 20 every year. So, you know, bringing in 27 and 28 is not doing much for me.
But are you better off getting just Kevin Love and putting him next to Miles Turner? Are you any less in that Atlanta Hawks situation?
No, I think you're a better team with Kevin Love than you are. Now, I have to look at the rest of their cap room because I don't know what it is right now. I think I would rather have Kevin Love and have picks 27 and 28.
Okay.
And a
That's
backup
fair.
Point guard.
That's fair. And I think you'd be able to flip Love in a year, quite frankly. So if that's the case, then I think you're winning. If you can flip, if you can make a point to flipping Love for better picks, I would do that deal as well. I just don't think keeping Kevin Love helps them more than just getting to mediocrity. Okay, so who do you have Indiana picking? Because I have them taking TJ Leaf.
And I think they need shooting with Monty Ellis just being so awful last year. I have them going, the guy who, the one who went to play in Australia, Terrence Ferguson.
Terrence Ferguson. Okay. Indiana down, your favorite team, Atlanta up. They don't need a point guard.
Atlanta is impossible to figure out, other than, yes, with Schrader, they don't need a point guard, because you don't know what they're going to do with Millsap. And the problem is you re-sign Millsap, he takes your cap, and he's not going to get you anywhere. So I think you go for best – I think you go best player available. I look at Justin Patton, who I know is off your board, but I think I go here with TJ Leaf.
Okay. And I have, just like you said, best available, and that's just Justin Jackson, who plays actually a position where they don't have anybody, and that's small forward, having traded Kyle
Korver.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we're back up to Portland, and this is where Portland, to me, goes Harry Giles. For the exact same reason you said before, three first-round picks, let's take a chance.
All right. I actually, at this point, again, you look overseas, you look at a guy like Hartenstein from Germany or what's his name, the guy from Serbia that played in Serbia, Jonah, the name is escaping me off the top of my head, Jonah Bolden. I think at the end of the day, they did well with Nurkic, you have a guy you can develop in Patton from Creighton. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Okay. Well, that's funny because we both have Patton and Giles going to Portland. We just have them in flipped picks.
That is kind of funny.
Okay, Oklahoma City, who is, in my opinion, hoping that Justin Jackson lasts. I think this would be a perfect guy for them in that he'll come in and score. Unfortunately, he does not last in my draft. So who goes here? An interesting conundrum, Mr. Cayman's. And as you said, they need to score. No? Not an interesting conundrum for you?
No, the Justin Jackson.
Oh, you have Justin Jackson. You have Justin Jackson. And I assume that's who you have going here.
Yes.
Okay. I want to pick Terrence Ferguson, but the guy can't hit the broadside of a barn. Truth be told.
Never stopped anyone before.
I know, but with this team, I think it does mean something. I think they need some guy that can come in and shoot the basket.
Ferguson, to me, you have Oladipo, who is your athletic two guard, who's not a shooter.
Right.
So I agree
that's
with
what
you
I'm
need
saying.
Yeah.
So I think they take a power forward because Taj Gibson is a free agent at the end of this year. So I think they take a forward. Now, do they take a Jonah Bolden? Do they take a Tony Bradley? You know, I don't see any real great selections for them. I don't see that score. And that's what happens when you're in mediocrity. And that's what they are at this point. man, it's. I'm gonna go with Bolden. I think they go here. I don't like the pick at all, but I think they go Bolden. And here we are with the Brooklyn Nets. And I will let you pick first on Brooklyn.
I look at what Nets. No, I actually think there's some sense here. They now have their guards in Lynn and D'Angelo Russell and LeVert. So between the three of them, you have your guards.
Yep.
You have Jefferson as your forward, is one of your forwards. You can either go forward, and they just brought in Mozgov, who's, you know, to me a backup. So they have Trevor Booker, who's kind of a nice power forward. I think you go big man, which leaves me with one of two guys, either Allen or Adebayo, and I am not an Adebayo guy, so I'm going Jared Allen.
Okay, and since I have Allen off, I go out of Bayou. And I think that is exactly the case. Because now, especially with the loss of... Hold on. With the loss of Brook Lopez, who they just traded. Look, this is a team that does not have a first-round pick next year. They need to swing for the fences and keep swinging. And swing, and swing, and swing. And the two guys that I could see, one of these two guys going, would be Anabagu or Terrence Ferguson. Because I think they would just, they got to keep swinging for the fences. And they just gave up a first-round pick for D'Angelo Russell, which I think is a tremendous deal. We haven't even talked about it about that deal, and we'll get to that in pick number 27. But I think that's a tremendous deal. Okay, we're on to Toronto, who, with the 23rd pick, who may lose their point guard if Kyle Lowry decides to leave. But I think they look far in here. They may lose Serge Ibaka. I think they take, man, I can't pronounce this guy's name, and Zaitz. Pasekness, a center out of Latvia.
Yeah, he strikes me as a Utah or a San Antonio guy, where they just do what they do, because that's all they ever do. I actually think they lose Ibaka, so they go power forward or slash kind of that power forward slash center. And I don't know if what they're going to do in regards to Lowry, whether they can re-sign him. I think they go out of Bayou here.
Okay. 24 overall. Here's your Utah guy. Is this who you're picking for Utah?
Yeah, the problem is they got another problem because they have both George Hill and Gordon Hayward and we don't know if they're going to be able to resign either of them. They have Exum to back up Hill. There is no backup for Hayward, but no one they're going to draft is going to be suitable in that regard. I think they need the flexibility of a foreign guy so they can pretty much, it allows a little bit more cap room. So I think Pasekniks makes sense there.
Okay. And I have them for a very similar reason that you just said. It's the Gordon Hayward situation. I have them taking a flyer on Terrence Ferguson here. I think they can wait it out. They have such a young team. Orlando, who I think would love for Ferguson to be here. I think that they would take a shot every day with Ferguson being here. But unfortunately, he's not. And Orlando, I had Jared Allen, and yet I have Jared Allen going to Chicago. There's a big problem there. Can't have him going to two places. I have them taking DJ Wilson.
Yeah, I'm not particularly excited about, you know, I look at Orlando. Do I look at a point guard? Like a Juwan Adams, Do I look at the guy from Colorado? The name's escaping me right now. It seems like Orlando just kind of is always in this mess of nowhere. They have centers. They have Aaron Gordon. They have, the small forward whose name is escaping me right now. Payton hasn't developed. I guess you go best player available. As much as I'd like to find a point guard that works for me here, I just don't have one. So, maybe they just kind of need a little bit of it's a little bit early now. I'm trying to think here, so give me a second. They need a shooter. Maybe this is where they go Bolden from Australia. He kind of that 2-3 combo. Because I don't love it, but I don't see what they need, where they can be helped, where they are.
Okay, now we're on to Portland, and I think Portland stashes Bolden right here.
And I think Portland stashes Isaiah Hartenstein.
Okay, we're up to the Lakers. Back-to-back picks for the Lakers. First one is the Brooklyn one. Second one is their own. Do you like the trade?
All right. Yeah, for the Lakers, I do. Russell becomes redundant with Lonzo Ball, although it's a concession of a waste of a number two overall pick. You get a legitimate center in Lopez, you get an additional pick. You assume you can't per se assume George is coming in, but right now you have Ball, you have Ingram, you have Clarkson, and you have Brook Lopez, and the potential of George. I think you look at a couple things. I think you look at a good, smart, all around player. I like Josh Hart here, actually, the swingman from Phoenix. I think he's a little bit smaller than Brandon Ingram. I think he's more of a two to me than a three, and I think he just has a maturity that.
Did you say the senior from Phoenix?
Senior from Villanova.
Right. Okay.
I did.
You said Phoenix.
Sorry.
That's fine. I was just wondering.
So that's who I have going 27.
So they're taking back-to-back. They're taking back-to-back point guards, as far as you're concerned.
Well, Hart's not a point guard.
No.
Right. No, Hart's not a point guard. They had Brunson. They had DRs. The year before they had DR, I forget how to pronounce your last name.
He's more of a shooting guard.
He's a shooting guard.
You're right. Yep.
And then I'd probably look for a big guy, the best big guy available at this point, who's probably where I look for DJ Wilson. Because I don't think I've taken him yet.
You have not. So I have at 27, I have them going Tony Bradley, because although they are getting Brook Lopez is a one-year deal for me. I think he's done after 1 year. I don't think they re-sign him, and I think Bradley would be great for them. And I have Jason Hart. I had Jason Hart from the very beginning at 28 going to them.
You mean
so,
Jason Hart was the point guard from Syracuse.
Sorry, Josh Hart.
I think you're mixing.
Yeah, I am. Josh Hart. Okay, San Antonio with 29. And we love San Antonio because they always like to stash people. But I don't have them stashing anybody. I have them taking Frank Jackson, the point guard from Duke.
Actually, I think that makes a lot of sense. I do as well.
Thank you.
Because I think he has a promise. Whether it's whether it's San Antonio at 29 or Utah at 30. In San Antonio, he does have that Tony Parkerish kind of feel to him. Quick,
agreed.
Good shooter, smart guy, smart player.
Agreed.
So.
And with the 30th pick in the draft, the Utah Jazz select my friend, the man with the stash, Tyler Lydon out of Syracuse. And we keep our first-round streak alive.
Well, that's pretty much the reason that you picked them.
No, I think he actually could go there. Look, you have Derek Favors, who is a banger. He's not an outside shooter. Tyler Lydon is a stretch four. If they lose Gordon Hayward, they have no outside shooting. Zero. Lydon could be an outside shooter with Favors banging down below or Rudy Gobert down below. I think that this is a good pick.
Okay.
All right, so who do you got for Utah? Since you ridiculed my pick, where is this one going?
I look in regards to, okay, if Hayward leaves, who's going to replace him? So you're looking at that 3-4, and the best guy out there, you know, kind of a guy with a little bit of experience, is the Duke transfer to SMU. I can never pronounce his name, Ojoleye, but he's a solid 3-and-D, good defensive player, and I think he fits well.
Seth, ladies and gentlemen, Seth Kamens coming in for the draft. Now is, I'm sorry, who was the last player? Because I couldn't even hear his pronunciation. I think you need to go to English class. It starts at 7:30. What? Who is it?
I do. Ojoleye. Ojoleye. Semi Ojoleye.
Ojoleye. Okay, got him. SMU, got him. Okay. Well, next week we'll go through this and see how much we all suck and how much, once again, we can't predict anything. And we'll talk to you next week. All right. We'll be back at the same time next week, 7 o'clock. So to Seth Kamens, everybody, round of applause for a shitty draft that we – oh, I shouldn't have said that. For a crappy draft that we all do. Okay, bye-bye. I guess he dropped off. Anyway, so we got about 8 minutes to go. I could start talking about the Jets. I could start talking about the Mets. I could start talking about the Knicks. Oh, I could start talking about the Knicks. And I could go on and on and on and on, and on about how bad all of my teams are. I really could. But the one thing I had failed to do last week on this show that I really would like to do now is wish all the fathers out there a very happy belated Father's Day. And none so more than to my brother, who does a fantastic job, but to all of my friends, who also do fantastic jobs with their children, Seth included. Talk all the time, joke all the time, how I have all of this free time because I do not have children. Well, I'll tell you, I am in awe, absolute awe of the work that fathers do on a daily basis and what they put forth on a daily basis to make sure that their kids are happy. So happy, happy belated Father's Day to the many, many fathers that tune into the show and to my esteemed colleague and co-host and best friend, Seth Kamens. So Thursday is the draft. We just went through the mock draft. And what are you going to see me doing Thursday night? Well, I don't have plans to watch the draft right now. And in the last couple of years, I haven't watched it. I've been at a bar or I've been out with some friends, and I casually look at it because, truth be told, much like our caller earlier said, the Knicks are going to screw it up. They always do. They just can't be easy. Even Porzingis, yeah, it turned out to be the right pick, but there was so much controversy behind it that you never felt, even with Phil Jackson, you never felt like you had a grasp on it that he was your guy. How many trades are we going to see in the NBA draft? My over-under is 3. We've already seen 2, but I won't count those. So let's say we do count those, and my over-under is 4. 4 trades for the entire NBA draft. I think we see some action at the top, which we've already done. I think we might see another trade at the 3 spot with the Celtics, who might be looking to get out. I think Paul George does move. It may not be on the first day, but it will certainly be thereafter. Okay, So we talked a little bit about basketball, a little bit, a lot about basketball today. The one thing that we have not talked about is the NHL expansion draft. And I talked earlier about how I have not won a championship in 30 years. I think you all know this. Trust me. I know you all know this. 1986. And my beloved Islanders, and much like my Knicks, much like my Jets, and much like my Mets, the Islanders are always the laughingstock of the league. No more than this week, where we have the expansion draft coming up, which will all the picks will be determined tomorrow and announced in some show at like 8 o'clock. So much for a draft. It's basically one team. So who's drafting? You're just picking. And you were allowed to pick 7 skaters, 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and 1 goalie. Or you were able to pick any number of 8 players on your team, which generally was a 4 defensemen if you had a team such as Nashville, which has a tremendous defense. And then you pick 4 offensive. And the expansion draft list came out, the protected list, came out on Saturday at 10 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, I logged into NHL.com and looked on LighthouseHockey.com. Only to my chagrin, when I saw that the Islanders were the only team that went with 3 forwards and 5 defensemen. 5! A guy named Adam Pellick, not Pollock, not Ryan Pollock, Adam Pellick was protected by the Islanders. The 5th defenseman on the Islanders was protected. And you could have... It's a good thing I live in a rented apartment and that I would have to pay for any damage that was happening here. Because truth be told, I was ready to make damage in my apartment. I don't know what Garth Snow is doing. I don't know what the Islanders are doing. But I will tell you right now, July 1st is when John Tavares can be re-signed. And if somehow Garth Snow pulls a rabbit out of his hat, signs John Tavares, makes this team better, I will apologize to Garth Snow. But right now, I feel that this guy is the worst general manager in sports. The worst. Worse than Billy Knight. Because he still has a job. And it's really, really sad to be an Islander fan sometimes because you just know, much like a Knicks fan, it's just going to mess it up. All right. So thanks you all for tuning in to our NBA draft show. Thanks to the caller that took over the first half hour from Seth. It was much appreciated on behalf of my voice and everything else that goes along with me. For Seth Kamens, this is Sean Palmer. Next week we'll have a recap of the NBA draft. We'll talk a little bit about NBA free agency, along with the expansion draft and so on and so forth. For Seth Kamens, this has been Sean Palmer, BackSportsPage.com, Blog Talk Radio, Seth and Sean Sports Radio, and we'll see you next week. All right, everybody, have a great week and enjoy the weather. See ya.